Who wants to draw first? All right. First hand right over here. Just one item. Oh, you took the big item. Okay, good. What do you see?
A picture.
Do you know what it's a picture of?
It is a picture of the Wednesday night, it looks like.
Very good. Yeah, our Wednesday night potluck. Very good. So she drew a picture of our Wednesday night potluck dinners. What do we do when we eat together? Can anybody know besides eat the food, obviously, right? Why else is that important to get together and eat around those tables? What's happening? People converse, talk back and forth. You know what the Bible calls that? There's a $5 word for that. It's called fellowship. You ever heard your mom and dad talk about fellowship? All right, we're going to talk about that today. Who wants to draw next? All right. One item. Whoa! What did you draw?
I got to draw Batman.
A toy-sized Batman. All right. Now, which of the kids can tell us, what does this remind you of from your experience here at Alta Mesa? Where do you see Batman? Cayman, I know you know. Where do you see, we call him what?
Batman.
What do we call him in Bible class? Anybody know?
Bible man.
That's right. We call him Bible man in T3, all right? And Bible man brings a verse, right, for the kids to remember. That's because scripture is very important in our lives, and we need not only to know it, but we need to live it, all right? We're going to talk about that today. Who else wants to draw? All right. One item, please, sir. Oh, what did you draw? What are those hands doing?
Praying
hands. That's right. I got those praying hands from Africa, from Liberia, when I went there. And those are obviously reminding us to do what? To pray, right? So we're going to talk about prayer today. All right, I got one item left, all right? You're going to have to dig. It's kind of a small little item down in there. Oh, what did you draw?
A mini cup.
Do you know what that mini cup is? Do you recognize it?
Yes.
What is it? From communion, that's right, one of our communion cups. And would you like to tell us the significance of communion in your own words? Why is communion important?
Because you have given
your
life to Jesus.
Yeah, those of us who have given our life to Jesus, we remember and we celebrate his death, his burial, his resurrection, and we do that together, right? And we're going to talk about that today. All right, thank you guys very much. Let's give everybody a hand up here. You can go back to your seat. Thank you very much.
Acts 2:42-47 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved."
If you're here last week, you know we're in a new series called Next Steps. We're reflecting on the idea of each of us taking our next step in our journey toward Jesus, whatever that next step might be. For you, it could be exploring. We talked about the idea of exploration of Jesus, coming to know who he is by looking at the question, who is Jesus? Is he who he says that he is? For you, it could be about growth or progress. It could be about relationships or grace or sharing ourselves for the betterment of others or stretching our limits or overcoming specific obstacles or biases in our lives. All those things and much, much more could be your next step. Following Jesus is an adventure of a lifetime, but unfortunately, many of us never quite come to see it that way. And just for a moment, speaking of seeing, oftentimes we have difficulty seeing the way that God sees. And that's pretty evident in our world around us. And so I would just ask for a moment today that we would pause, take a deep breath, and ask God for the courage and the faith to see as He sees, to have ears to hear as He hears. And then when we see or hear something that is not of His will, specifically this weekend, what is hateful, what is racist, what is violent, could we have the courage, church, as disciples of Jesus, when it is blatantly obvious, could we have the courage to have a gospel response, both with our words and with our actions? Having words to correct even those we love when we hear or see something that is against God's will. Let's pray. So, Father, we ask for discernment. We ask for courage to see as You see, to hear as You hear. God, would You help us to overcome pride or fear or whatever other defect of character that's holding us back from boldly being Your disciples. And may we be participants in ushering in Your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, last week we began with the idea of exploration, this idea of investigating who is Jesus. However, a lot of people have explored faith in Jesus and they've liked what they've found, but it kind of stops there. It stalls out. And so today what I want to emphasize is the significance of being engaged. When we decide to follow Jesus, really decide to follow Him, the only way I know of to experience Him and His church in all of its worth is to just jump in with both feet. Because once we commit to follow Him, He does not want us to just sit around and consume. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I just want to be fed spiritually. And there are seasons where that needs to happen. But what if we took Jesus seriously at His word and began to participate, to engage in the community of faith? That's exactly what we see happening with the first disciples in Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bible or Bible app, join me there. As the church begins to explode in numbers and influence, we begin to see why they are engaged in the life of the church. From day one, I want you to listen again to their tenacious connection and commitment to one another. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So here are these people on the heels of their conversion to Jesus, the early church. They have this lifestyle where they chose to engage their devotion to Jesus. It didn't end with their baptism. They just weren't a person in the crowd coming to be taught. They were engaging. They were devoted to one another and their community. I believe it's important for us here to note the word translated devoted. It literally means continuing to do something with great intensity. And these first Christians, they went past the idea of exploring and decided to intensely engage in life together. Luke points out that these disciples, they daily express their commitment to the Lord and to each other through these four cornerstones is what I'm going to call them. So I just want to walk through them together. Our kids helped us out with these. The first one's Scripture. The early Christians intensely devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now remember, the New Testament, as we hold in our hands, either leather bound or in a device, they didn't have that in the first century. As Peter, James, and John, and eventually Paul and others were teaching with authority, and over time those teachings became writings that eventually developed into our canon, our New Testament, they devoted themselves to this teaching, to this way of life. And so today, as engaged disciples, we intensely devote ourselves to God's Word. And I often hear people say things like, well, I don't really read the Bible much because it's boring. Or I've heard people say, well, I don't really read the Bible much because it's irrelevant. It was written for another time. And I have some responses to that. Some of my favorite are, if you're bored when you read the Bible, where are you reading? Have you read Genesis? It's kind of off its rocker. I mean, it's off its chain. Have you read Hosea? I mean, buckle up if you read Hosea. Have you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories of the magnificent life and teachings and Passion Week of Jesus? I mean, if you're bored reading the Bible, where are you reading? Because the story of God's love for mankind is intensely engaging. And then for those who say, well, it's kind of irrelevant, written for another time, my response would be something like, there's nothing new under the sun. It's highly relevant because the people of the Bible, they faced and they struggled with similar tests and trials and temptations that we face today. And the crux of the matter is this. The love story of God that is found within the pages of Scripture has captivated every person of every century that took seriously their reading of it. So something that I've picked up from recovery is this. You'll get what you put into it. You'll receive what you put into it. And so if you are seriously reading the pages of Scripture for all it's worth, there's no doubt you'll be captivated by it. That's why we teach from God's Word every single week, and that's why we encourage you to engage in it, to read it, to reflect on it, to live it out every day, because every time we go to God's Word with fresh eyes, with an anticipation to meet God there, every single time He gives us something to chew on. Something to challenge us, something to stretch us, to grow our faith in Him. And so today we choose to be engaged in the life of our church family by participating in things like small group studies, Bible class, maybe even one who shares, teaches the Word of God, say with our children and our teens. I mean, listen, did you see our kids up here this morning? This was just a sampling of the kids that God has blessed us with. Listen to me, church. They are our number one mission field. If we convert all of Fort Worth and we fail to teach our children the truth of God's Word in this house, we've missed the mark. Our children are our number one mission field. And yes, as a parent, I tell you today, we need your help. And before you ask it, let me respond. Of course I teach Scripture and the way of Jesus in my house. Of course I do. But I also have an expectation that when they come into the family of God here at Alta Mesa, that that teaching of Scripture would be solidified by this community. It takes a village, right? And so we need your help. Andrea, our children's minister, needs teachers and helpers in our children's hallways on Wednesdays and Sundays. Listen, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Wednesdays here in a minute, but there is something moving and acting in the Holy Spirit here on Wednesday nights. And if you're not coming, you're missing it. And I'll just be bold and step on a few toes and say, some of you are just sitting at home doing nothing. And from 6:30 to 7:30, there is a mission going on here. And we need your help. And of course, on Sundays, we need your help in the classes, teaching, helping, mentoring our kids in the Word of God. Nate needs sponsors, helpers, teachers in the youth class on Wednesdays and Sundays. He needs sponsors for special events like retreats and camps. And we just witnessed from two teens and the pictures you saw how influential those times can be in the lives of our teens. And so we need your help. You don't have to have a child in these programs to help. You do have to pass a background check. You probably want to talk with Andrea and Nate, but we invite you to help. Intergenerational ministry is a good thing. So we need a village to invest in the lives of our children. And the second cornerstone that the early disciples devoted themselves to was fellowship. Now listen to me closely here, and this is going to just blow your mind. You ready? You can't do this one alone. You can't. It's impossible. You can't do this one alone. God in his wisdom created the church so that we did not have to walk through this life alone. And there are so many opportunities for you to find fellowship here in this body. Just take a look at all the tables out in the gathering room this morning. Take the time to stop and to look and to process and to be made aware of all that is happening in and through this body. I do want to highlight a few unique things happening. First is Wednesday nights. I want to come back to it. The first Wednesday night of every month, okay? The first Wednesday night of every month is a special night. From 6:30 to 7:30, we have a fellowship gathering. We either have a all-church potluck or we have a dessert and dialogue that's led by our leadership. And these gatherings are designed for us to enjoy table fellowship together and engage in conversation. And the picture that was drawn out of the bag that they saw is this picture. It's always at potluck. It's always a diverse group of people that gathers to enjoy some good food, yes, but also some good conversation, to just check in with one another, to see how the week is going, to meet someone new. As I said earlier, our God is moving and active on Wednesday nights, bringing people together from various backgrounds. Some are members, some are guests. And so if you want to better engage in our life of our church, I encourage you, please pay attention to the dates of when potlucks and dessert and dialogues happen, because they are a great way for you to experience for yourself what God is up to in our body. When we come together for fellowship, God powerfully works through us to minister to the specific needs of his body. Now, I also want to encourage you to get involved in a journey group. Fellowship certainly happens when we gather together in this place, here in this building. We're inspired to live for God as we glorify his name together. We're informed and we're encouraged to live out scripture in our Bible classes and our conversations together on Sundays. But man, I know you're going to agree with me on this. There's something intimate that happens when we meet in each other's homes. I think that's why I haven't heard anyone come up to me and say, Micah, look, that look who's coming to dinner thing, we got to get rid of that. Now, some of you don't attend because it's kind of weird, or maybe you don't want to stay out late or whatever, and that's fine. But I haven't had anyone come up to me and say, that was awful, stop. And I think it's because look who's coming to dinner. It's that opportunity where people open up their homes and we get to meet people and we get to fellowship. We get to eat together and laugh and pray and all of those wonderful things. Fellowship happens intimately in our homes, and that's the design of our journey groups. We meet in homes on various nights throughout the week, and we don't just get to know each other's names, but we get to do life together. We get to walk this life together. So if you're not in a journey group, I'd encourage you to sign up for one this morning out in the gathering room. So the third and the fourth cornerstones that the early church devoted themselves to were the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now here in Acts 2:42, the breaking of bread is an accurate translation because Luke is using a definite article here to signify something significant. So in other words, Luke isn't saying that weekly these early disciples would devote themselves to eating a meal together. What Luke is telling us is that they devoted themselves to each other by sharing the meal together. It's the Lord's Supper. It's the weekly remembrance of the death and the burial. And the one thing that sets Jesus Christ apart from all other world leaders, both past and present, the power of his resurrection. We remember and we celebrate Jesus's death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And could I just insert here specifically for us this weekend, there's only one who is supreme. His name is Jesus. That's it. That's it. And those of us who claim to follow Jesus, the supreme King of Kings, we are his humble servants. We are his sons and his daughters. And the first disciples devoted themselves to this practice, and so do we. And perhaps the most intimate time that we share together when we the called out, when we gather together in this place, perhaps the most intimate thing that we do is we approach the table of grace, as Max said during our time, where everyone is welcome. Where Jesus is our host and he invites us to the table. We're broken, we're vulnerable, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're thankful. And we break the bread and we remember his body. We drink the cup and we're thankful for the blood that was poured out. Not just for us, but for the sake of the world. We remember. And then likewise, prayer binds us together, right? Prayer binds us together. I know of no greater community builder than that of prayer. When someone takes the time to come and pray for me or over me, no matter what it's about or what it's for, when someone comes and takes the time to do that, and for me, I know not all of us are big on this, but for me, when people place their hands on my shoulder or on my back and they lay their hands on me and they pray, there's something peaceful, there's something powerful, healing about that experience. And I believe that's why James says in James 5:16 that as we confess our sins to one another, we are healed. And it's in the context of him talking about prayer. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And that's true. Prayer binds us together. So when we devote ourselves to prayer, as the early church did, we not only experience the grace and the beauty of praying for other people, but we experience the power of our God. And so we devote ourselves to these things. We continually give ourselves over intensely to these things, to the teaching and to the living out of Scripture, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we take time each week to offer prayers for people. And as we stand and sing this song each week, I hope that even if someone does not come forward, that you're still praying for those that you know of that are sick, that are hurting, that need the help of this community, that need the help of God. So even if someone doesn't come forward, even if someone doesn't step out into the aisles, our shepherds are always available in the aisles to receive you for prayer and encouragement. Even if no one does that, could we still be in prayer for those that we know of that need the help of our God? And then maybe for you this morning, you've been convicted that it's time for you to be a disciple of Jesus, that you're ready to step into the waters of baptism. And as he died on the cross, you are ready to die to self. And as he was buried in a tomb, you're ready to be buried in a watery grave, baptized, immersed into the water, and then brought back up to live a new life as Jesus was resurrected to life as well. We would love to witness your baptism this morning. If you need to respond to the Lord, do that now. as we stand and sing. Let's sing this song together.
Salvation.